Am I on? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, I'll let him do it. Good. So, it's a beautiful day today. I'll keep it to a couple hours and... Yeah. No, I can't talk that long. So, interesting, the last song we just did goes right into with the topic for today. I don't have any slides today. Doing it a little different than I normally do. See how things go. But I started reading a book by, I believe it's Jack and Deb Graham, called Courageous Parenting. Not very far in it, but it kind of inspired me to talk about being courageous. Courageous faith, courageous living. Has anybody seen the movie Courageous? There should be more hands up. It's amazing. Whether you're a parent or not, I highly recommend it. So, what is courage? Merriam-Webster defines courage as being mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Dr. Michael Youssef has an article that I found online, and what he says, courage is one of the greatest manifestations of faith. Courageous fear is confident that God cannot and will not make a mistake. Courageous faith knows that God cannot be wrong. Courageous faith is confident that God can never be defeated. Hebrews 11:30 through 40. It says, this section of the passage lists several biblical heroes who demonstrated great courage, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. So, that's pretty powerful, pretty tough for me to really comprehend completely. I like to think that my faith is strong, but I know daily I question the obstacles that God puts in front of me. As I was writing this, and I'm going to share and call out somebody in this room, and hopefully he forgives me for it, but when I think of some courageous faith, one person that comes to mind is Chris. Chris has been through a lot. I's been good for 2 years now. Pretty good. Better. Better than we were? No? Okay. Watching Chris come and go from hospitals, having his eye worked on so many times. And I know he spoke to you guys about it and the faith that he's had during this whole struggle. And you're what, 18 now, Chris? That faith is stronger than a lot of the adults in this room. You may not know why God's putting you through this, but you've been able to trust him the whole way. I've had far less happen to me, and I've had the pity of why. Why am I sick? Why does this happen? And I'm sure I'm not the only adult in the room that has felt that way. So, I just, thinking about Chris, you've kind of been an inspiration to many people in this room, I think. And those that don't know your story may now come ask you. So, I'm sorry if too many people come bother you. But you popped right in my head during this. Somebody else is Pastor Rick. I mean, he'll talk to anybody about his faith, and he's not ashamed of it. I love watching at the fun fair when he'll say, you know, the hot dogs are free. The only other free thing is the gospel. And it's the way he just throws it out there so naturally, it's another inspiration to me. So I know not everybody in this room are parents, so I've broken this down into a few different categories of what I feel it means to live courageously or have courageous faith. As a parent, as a husband, and as a follower of Christ. So I know as a parent, Katie and I, we want our children to grow up in certain ways. In the Bible it says, train up a child in the way they are bent. Each of our children have certain strengths and weaknesses, and I see this every day in school as well. We need to help them build upon those strengths and build their weaknesses up as well. But at the same time, there are certain morals that we want our children to live by. First one for me is, well, I say first, but these aren't really in order. I hope my kids can build respect. Respect for each other, respect for adults. Usually they're pretty good. I'd like to think not a whole lot different than any other child who sometimes you know everything, sometimes you know absolutely nothing. Having one that's 13 stepping into the teenage years, it's getting interesting. But then at the other end, Maggie, who's 6, I'll take a 13-year-old boy over a 6-year-old girl. I love you, Maggie, but that's the truth. But respect, respecting other people, respecting thoughts of others, knowing that it's okay to have difference of opinion. You look on Facebook every day, and that's something that our society doesn't know anymore. We don't know how to respect somebody else's opinion. You can disagree and still get along. Hard work. Something I see working in schools is many kids and many adults don't know how to work hard. Now, working hard doesn't mean you can't work smart. If there is another way, it's okay to do things. Find an easier way to do it. I know if I'm doing firewood, I'll split a few pieces with a splitting maul, but then I like to use the splitter. Works a lot faster than I can. Well, sometimes it works faster than I can, not always. But hard work. Doing the best you can at everything you do. I don't know if anybody has read, I can't think of the author, the book, The QBQ, Question Behind the Question. Katie, can you remember who that was? No, I think it was before he started. It was a book that Dave Ramsey had recommended, and we listened to it, and I actually took it to my principal my second year of school and said, you need to have the staff read this. The idea behind it is, whatever you do, do the best at. One of the stories near the beginning is somebody goes to a restaurant, they want a Diet Coke. The restaurant only serves Pepsi products. But that waitress did her job the best she could. She went down to the corner store, she bought a Diet Coke, brought it back, served it, and the guy's like, you don't have it. And she said, no, it's fine, and she took care of it. She did the best she could. So that year we had a Diet Coke award at school for staff that went above and beyond. Luckily, she didn't actually give us Diet Coke, but it was just neat to see. And it just talks about how if you're anything you do, if there's a problem, don't just go to a supervisor with the problem. Say, hey, I see this. Here's a suggestion. It might not be a great suggestion, but at least have a suggestion. If you're walking down the hall and there's a piece of trash on the floor, you could say, oh, that's for the janitor to take care of, or you could stop and pick it up and throw it away. Take 2 seconds to do it. Consequences. Consequences are hard. I've spent 3 days this week in a training for special education, and a big part of it is applied behavior analysis and positive behavior supports. And I'm very split on it. I see the benefits to it. One of the things I did like to hear this week, so often with ABA things, we're told it's all positive. Reward, reward, reward. And they did say there is a time for consequences. I was so good to hear that finally, because in public education today, so much of it is Now, things have to be positive. It's the everybody gets a trophy. It's those sort of things. I want my kids to know what consequences are. Because in reality, everything we do in life has a consequence. Consequence doesn't always equal a bad thing. You make a choice to help somebody. You may touch their life and they go on to help. That's a consequence. Or you may run across the street and get hit by a car. That's a consequence. A couple years ago, I almost watched that happen to Gabe. He wanted to come across the street. Isaac and Eddie were playing with remote control cars in Beulah Lane. I went to my in-laws for a minute, came up, and as I was coming up, I saw him dart across the street. God clearly intervened because somehow he stopped right as the car swerved, and it had to be less than a foot. Well, he knew that there was a consequence after that. And I'm grateful that everything was fine, but consequences are an important thing. And we see, I honestly question some of the stuff we see in the news today, if the people carrying out acts even know there are real consequences. And I'm never going to be one that says, oh, we have shootings because of video games. And I've played video games, and I might be a little crazy, but not too badly. But I do think there is something to say where you're playing a video game and it's violent, but what happens? It restarts. Just picks back up. And I think when you mix that with all the other things going on in our society, that can play an impact. But consequences, things happen. I know I have students, and my students are, they have pretty significant needs. But at the same time, many of them are learning there are consequences to actions, more so than general ed students, because of the way things run. So I want my kids to all know there are consequences for things, whether you're a child or an adult. You have a job, you don't show up to work. Depending on your job, you might get away with it, but there's going to be consequences. First off, you won't get paid. Second, you may lose your job. You work hard at your job, well, there may be openings for you to move up. Now, I put this as my fourth bullet, but really this is the most important thing. I want my kids, and I want to teach my kids, to have an unwavering love for God and place Him at the center of their lives. In my head, that is such a simple thing to do. In my daily practice, it's not great. Now, these things, I hope that my kids learn from me. I hope they look at me as somebody that has respect for others, respect for my wife, and respect for my kids. I hope they look at me and learn how to work hard, and that I do display that there are consequences, and that doesn't just mean punishing my children when they do wrong things, but they see my choices and the consequences they have. The last one, putting God at the center of their lives, as I said, that seems like such a simple thing. But when I truly look at day-to-day, there's many times that I've missed that chance to show them. I do also have different hopes for my boys and for my girls. For the sake of sounding sexist, oh well. I want my sons to learn to respect women as they grow up and begin to have relationships. If they are married and have families, I want them to have that drive to provide for their wives and their families. But also to know that there are times you need to make time for yourselves, but also your families. I know it's so easy to just focus on, you know, in my house I am the sole provider, and it's rough. It is very hard. But I need to make sure that I don't just spend the time going to my job and then going doing other jobs and not making that time for them. one thing in my reading that popped up was, you know, we always say quality time versus the quantity of time. And the author was kind of arguing they don't buy it. They don't buy, well, my time is quality time with them. All time should be quality time. But there was a study that the average American father spends, I believe, 8 minutes a day with his family. That's ridiculous. I'm busy, but I have more than 8 minutes to spend with my kids. If not, then it's because I'm gone somewhere and I never leave anyway, so I don't know how that happens. But that hit me hard. It's important to make that time. If they get married, which I hope they do, I want them to have a commitment to their wives before God. Not, there should be a comma in there. In the face of God, I want them to have that commitment to their wives. Not placing their wives before God. To teach their children to love God. Now, any of you that have heard me speak before know I did not grow up in a family with any faith. So I've had to learn this as an adult. I hope that Katie and I can kind of give them a jump start on that by them seeing our relationship. For my girls, I want them to have respect for themselves, in particular in relationships. I want them to know that there are things in relationships that are acceptable and that aren't acceptable, and to be able to stand up for themselves. I want them to have the strength and the courage to follow their heart and the path that God's laid out for them. Whether that is they really have a drive for something and they want to go out into the workforce and have a typical job, or whether their family chooses for them to stay home. We always knew our goal for Katie was for her to be able to stay home, but way back to the first time I was up here when I did the dot to the dot and talked about all these things God put in the path, if Katie had not been a special ed teacher and made connections, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in now because of how everything worked out and her principal moved schools, called her, said, I know Jake needs a job, send him in. She learned a lot there, but our desire was always for her to be home. That decision made it rough. At that time, she was making more than I was, and we said, okay, that income's gone. Now, I'm not saying that that's the decision for everybody, but if that is what my daughters and their families decide, then I want them to know that that is okay. There's a lot that gets put on women that do stay home that, oh, it might be, you just don't want to work. If I put cameras up and watch what Katie does every day, anybody that thinks that's crazy. If she's sick, don't come to my house because you can't even get through the front door. I've told her she's not allowed to be sick. When I had my bout with Lyme a few weeks ago, I said, you can't get this, so you better watch for any ticks that you might have. I'm not sure how that works. How can women keep a house running? But if the dad's in charge for any amount of time, it's just horrible. Eat out every meal or order in or dishes pile up. I do know how to do dishes, but it doesn't happen as well. For my girls, I've been talking about, I want them to know that in a marriage, they are an equal participant, but if it's the plan for them, I want them to have the confidence to know it's okay to be cared for and provided for. As I said, this may sound sexist, but Katie and I have always said we grew up in the wrong era. Many of our views might be considered old-fashioned, but it's okay. I don't care. I want my girls to know that that is okay, if that's the path. But if they have aspirations to go out and be a doctor, well, then I'll be happy because hopefully they'll take care of me. And much as my boys, I want them to teach their children to love God. As a husband, first and foremost, Katie and I need to have a relationship with God. She's much better at this than I am. I go through phases. Every morning she has her Bible out, she has her devotional out. She'll say to me, sit down, we're reading. Oh, come on, I have to shut the TV off then? These are the areas I'm not so good in. But what I notice is when we do have that relationship between the two of us and God, that things just go smoother. I want my relationship with my wife to be strong, and I want to be able to lead my children. I want to be able to provide for my family. But as I said earlier with my boys, I also need that ability to know when I can say, no, I can't take that job on right now. It's easy to get wrapped up into that. And it's scary. Whether you are a two-income family that struggles or a single-income family that struggles, it's a scary thing. But one thing we've learned is that when we do what God teaches us, we're blessed over and over. When it comes to the budget, and she's much better than I am at this again, I used to be good at it. But then I'll admit, it got to the point where I hated sitting down and doing the budget because I knew what the numbers looked like. Those numbers aren't looking any better. I can't stomach this. That doesn't help. But those months where we look at things and say, okay, we could get all this stuff taken care of if we didn't tithe. And there have been times we've done that. And that's when 2 days later, your car explodes. Or a tree falls on it. Those months that we go, no, we're not wavering on this. That tithe is going in if other things have to go. Well, then a family shows up and says, hey, we've got an extra vehicle for you. We open up a card with money from somebody anonymous. The trees stay upright. So it works. That falls in with leading my family. I want to lead my family, but I don't want to just lead them in any direction. I want to know better what direction God wants me to move in. It takes a lot for me to listen to him, though. I've said before, I wish I had the telephone line that James has. Because James prays for something, and he's right there with an answer. I've shared before, back when Mike and Christy were clearing their lot, and we were trying to get this brush fire going all day long. It wasn't happening. They were staying at Shiloh at that point. Adam was tired of being over at the lot for the day, so I brought him back here and might have been looking for something to help get that fire going a little more, possibly. I can say that because Ron's not here right now. So that short drive across town, I got back there, the flames were this high, the pile was this big. I said, what happened here? And James goes, do you really want to know? Yes, what'd you do? Did you find a can of gasoline? He said, I just stopped and I said, Lord, we're tired. We can't do this. We can't be here all night. We need you to help out. The wind changed direction. Got the flames going. I want to be able to communicate that way. I'm not there. But that's pretty amazing. as a follower of Christ, what do I need to do? What do we all need to do? Daily, we need to show others the love of Christ through our actions, not just our words. How do we treat others? How do we treat others face-to-face? How do we treat others in civil Facebook discussions? They're going to remember those things. When I've had conversations with people and I'm told, well, you're a nice Christian, that's horrible. A nice Christian shouldn't be the exception. That's what we all need to show people, because that's how we show others the love of Christ. This is a hard one. To have courageous faith, we need to not be scared to display or talk about our faith. There was a teacher I used to work with that was having their first child, and she enjoys teaching, but she would have liked to have been able to stay home. And we were talking, and she said, how do you guys do it? One income? Well, hello, Ellie. She must hear my voice. One income. And at that time, I think we were at four kids. She said, how do you do it? We don't do it with two incomes. And I said, we don't. If it was us, we'd be failing. I said, it's God. God is taking care of us doing this. And she looked at me and she goes, really? I said, yeah. You know the numbers, what I make. You know it, that they don't equal what goes out. And she walked away thinking about that. And I've since, she went to a different school, but I've since seen things she has said that make me say, okay, she's listening. I don't know about many of you, but we may as a family pray at home, pray before a meal. I'd like to say we do it all the time, but we don't. But I can think of twice when we've gone out to dinner that we've actually prayed in public while we're at dinner. Why? Why can I only think of two times? Well, some might say you've only been out to dinner twice. That's not the case. Luckily, we get gift cards. But, I mean, how many of you feel that way, that you're okay praying before a meal at home, but when you're out in public, what are others going to think of me? Should that matter? So that's something that I have a section of goals here, and that's one of the things that I want to do better at, not being scared to pray in public. I mentioned Pastor Rick earlier, where he can't have a discussion for more than a few minutes with somebody without sharing his faith. More of us should be doing that. I talked about being salt and light one time up here, and the difference between showing and sharing as opposed to shining a flashlight in somebody's eyes as you're throwing salt in their face. We don't have to be irritating about it. Might be fun to, though. So, finally, my goals. You guys are going to be out of here before 11. Hope that's okay. My goals for myself and my family. I want to make a commitment to spend time in the Word every day. I went through a phase where I did really well with that. When I was with Junie and Paraclete, I was doing really well every day reading my Bible. But that doesn't happen regularly. We were talking the other day how this time of year we always start to get back in that routine. Nice weather hits and working outside sun up to sunset. Well, then I guess I need to either get up earlier or go to bed later to make that time. But picking up your Bible, that's an easy thing to say, oh, I'll get to it later. Whereas it should be, I'll get to it now. Other things can wait. I want to do better at leading my family in prayer and teaching my kids how to have a prayer life. if you struggle with these things and you want to get better, I'd say good thing, and this is something that Junie helped teach me, is to have an accountability partner. Might be a friend, it might be a spouse, could be a child, could be anybody. Somebody that you can say, hey, this is my goal. I want to pick up my Bible and read it for 30 minutes, 5 days a week. And I want you to hold me accountable for it. When you have somebody else that you're saying, nope, I didn't do so well this week, that's harder than just saying it to yourself. So that might be a goal that you have for yourself. I want to go from reading the Bible once a week to 3 times a week, or 4 or 5, whatever it might be. Tell somebody that. You want to pray every day? Tell somebody that. And tell them, please check in with me. Saturday morning, how many times have you read your Bible this week? Or for you, it might have to be a daily thing. I want my faith to grow, and in turn, the faith of my children to grow. I didn't get to it in time. I mentioned the movie Courageous. Something else, if you're not familiar with the song, I believe it was Casting Crowns as a song, Courageous. I was watching it on YouTube, and I was pretty, most of the comments I liked, but there was a young man who commented, 17 years old, and said, I don't have a family yet, I'm not even an adult yet, but this has inspired me. This is the kind of father and husband I want to be. Somebody else hopped on, you are so sexist. You are saying that, you know, in a kid's life, the father's more important than the mother, and blah, blah, blah. You know, mothers are amazing. There are plenty of families that just have a mother. But when you look at statistics of fatherless homes, they're scary. And remember that, even if you are there, that 8 minutes a day, that's not enough. Where would our kids be if their mothers were 8 minutes a day? I've already said how I feel about that. Things would be completely chaotic. But this doesn't just apply to if you have children. And that was something I wanted to be mindful when I started this. I hate that word, mindful. Something I wanted to think of was that not everybody in this room are parents. And I wanted to make sure that I kind of hit on whatever your needs may be. But I love this verse, Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's the ultimate goal I want to have for my family. We had a welcome mat with that. Got dirty pretty quickly, so you can't read the words now. So we might have to get another one. But if that's something people see, not just in words when they walk in our door, but through our actions. I've said many times, it's not always good when you live across the street from your pastor. They hear the real you, which is stuff you're not always proud of. Luckily, he doesn't call me out on it, but something to keep in mind. So, I believe we are not having another song, correct? So, let's pray, and then you guys will be dismissed. Dear Lord, thank you for being with us here today. I hope that through this message, that people got more than just the words that I'm saying, but I hope they heard from you directly, Lord, that they take what they need from this. Lord, I ask for you to help me be a better leader in my family. Let us all be better leaders in our community. Give us the courageous faith that we desire, but we don't always think we can do it. let us just be open to you, Lord, and let your strength flow through us. Let others see your love through us. Lord, you lead every step. Just continue to guide us and to bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just check. I had messaged. No, I didn't. I sent Pastor on a text to see if he had an update on Gene Brown, and I have not heard back from him. So hopefully there'll be an email. I'm not sure.